Hello, everyone, and welcome to Now Spinning, the official podcast of the Lansing Community College Vinyl Record Club. We meet twice a month to listen to vinyl and talk about music. Stay tuned to learn about how you can get in touch with us and attend our meetings. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Now Spinning. I'm your host, Simon Medina, and with me today I have...
Tyler.
Andy.
And we'd like to welcome you back to another wonderful episode. Before we get into the meeting we had on the 18th of last month, I'd like to talk about a little thing we did before this meeting. As a group, we haven't done this in a minute, so this was a little bit fun for us. We decided to go and check out the Record Lounge in Rio Town here in Lansing, which, for those who don't know, great, fantastic store, wonderful owners. We had the owner of that place, Heather, on a couple months ago.
She was great.
Yeah, it was a great time.
Yeah, I'm glad we could finally get to doing that, because every week, whenever we'd have a record club meeting, I'd ask and nobody would say anything. I just kind of gave up and just said, okay, if nobody else wants to do it, I'll just do it by myself.
Schedules worked out this time, and we hope to do this again in the future, though. So if you're interested at all in coming to any of these meetings and you want to hang out, you know, check it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wonderful stuff. So let's dive right into the playlist we have for today. So kicking us off, we have a Beatles cover. This is going to be a bit of a theme going forward.
All My Loving by Los Manolos from Barcelona. It's really cool. I discovered this song in September of 2020, so like 5 years ago. And I think it's my favorite Beatles cover.
It's quite fun.
Yeah,
it's very interesting. I haven't listened to Barcelona, much of like Catalan music. So it's very interesting to hear like a, you know, Beatles song interpreted that way.
I think it's more like rumba.
It's like, yeah, Spain, that kind of stuff. Still, I haven't listened to very much music from Spain either, so, you know, it's interesting to hear.
I never do. I mean, I just like that song.
That out.
Like,
it was very good.
You know, yeah.
Rolling on down the line, first, I also want to make a quick mention of this song, which is called Cold Heat, off of the album of the same name, which is a collection of funk songs from, like, the early 70s. I always love seeing those albums where it's like a compilation put out of like lesser known lost gems, and I always think it's always very interesting to see what they can like dig up. And you know, it's a very good way to expand your music taste into, you know, something you maybe you're familiar with the genre, but you know, it's a group of artists that you've never seen before, and it's a good time. I like those.
Yeah,
I'd also have to, after this, and this is something I played, it's a little self-indulgent because it's technically two songs, but it's basically one, which was the song, the instrumental off of Todd Rundgren's album, was it called Something Anything, which is called Breathless, and this track before it, which is called Intro, which I thought it was just interesting because it's Todd Rundgren, who is a famous music producer, artist in his own right. He was basically just describing the kinds of audio artifacts you're going to hear on a vinyl record or tape. So it was stuff like, you know, the record popping or like hum from the studio or white noise. It was a very interesting thing. It was you don't really hear people talk about this kind of stuff. So it had like an artifact of the time of someone basically just telling you, hey, you can play this game with any record you own. I thought that was kind of fun.
Yeah, it's okay. I didn't really, when I first listened to it, that's the first I ever heard of him. And I didn't really like it at all, if I'm going to be honest.
That's okay. And then the song Breathless, I also want to mention briefly, this was like an instrumental. And I think this song especially kind of sums up where he was at the time, because it's a very fun, like energetic, like synth pop instrumental thing, which is, it sounds very, I'm gonna say, ahead of its time a little bit. There's an album he made after this one, which is not the one I brought in, but if I could find it, I would love to find it. The name of it is slipping my mind right now, but it's a very wonderful album. A Wizard of True Star, that's the name of it. Very, very ahead of its time, very forward thinking, this guy. He produced plenty of other albums as well by other groups like Meatloaf, I think, Bat Out of Hell, that's a big album he produced, and then Skylarking by XTC, which is another one of my favorite records. Those are the two ones that come into mind first. Anyway, that's enough out of that guy. Moving along to Daryl Hall and John Oates. Two songs got played today by these people, and we're going to talk about both of them right now.
Oh, we are.
So first, might as well. First off, we're going to talk about Method of Modern Love, which was off of their the album that has Out of Touch on it, which the name of it slips my mind again. But I had never heard this song before this meeting, and I'll admit, I'm not a very big Hall & Oates connoisseur. I love all the big hit songs. I think they're a great songwriting duo. But that song, I thought that was interesting. It was a fun 80s thing. I'll have to check that whole album out at some point. But the second song that got played, this one was a bit more well-known, which was Rich Girl. And this
This is Rich Girl. So I picked this up from the record lounge earlier that day. And I just thought, hey, why not? And then my favorite part of this was in listening to the whole room just jam out and sing to it. Like, it was great.
You can't go wrong with Hall & Oates, I fear.
I agree. That's the, as I've said it before, on an episode a while ago, but we seldom get those sort of moments. Like, I think the last time we had everybody jamming out to a song was You Can Call Me Al at the NAMM meeting last year. Everybody loved that, and I can see for miles at a previous meeting. Mm-hmm. But it's always good to have those sort of songs that everybody really loves and digs into.
Very good. That's a good one. Speaking of You Can Call Me Al, we did actually play that one today.
Yeah. I bought that record as a 45, and I was really excited to play it. My favorite part was from that same NAMM episode.
Yeah.
Friend of the podcast, Steve Robinson, showing us all how to play that like 8-bar little mini bass solo where you kind of like do this little funky thing where you like slide your fingers mm-hmm. up the neck.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that was very cool. Yeah.
Even though, like, the cool thing about that whole solo is that it was actually, like, put on, like, it was played backwards. Like, they played it and then reversed the tape,
I thought that was awesome. Yeah. I think I jumped over a song, though. I'm sorry.
I mean, we were on topic, so
Worked up with a little help from my friends by Joe Cocker.
Speaking of well-known songs and stuff, this is probably the most well-known Beatles cover ever.
Yeah.
Like,
it sounded like it's like background music for some movie or something like that.
Or multiple car commercials.
Yeah.
I've seen, with a little help from my friends, this version specifically in a ton of commercials. Like, if you tune the TV on, there's probably about a 25% chance you'll hear a commercial with a little help from my friends on it.
Now that you mentioned it, I feel like I've definitely heard that around a lot. Yeah, that's another one where it's like that song kind of took on a life of its own beyond the Beatles. Like, obviously everybody, all Beatles fans, they know the one, the original, by, you know, with Ringo singing It's a Fun Little Time, but then Joe Cocker takes that, like, little fun little song.
It turns into a rock, anthem. Yeah. I mean, he played it at Woodstock, too, you know?
Yeah.
So.
I think that was the version that guy played. That's a good thing. That was a fun little fun song. It's always interesting, though, when you see, like, someone take a cover and kind of just make it entirely into something else. You know, that's an interesting talent to have. Like, obviously, we have quite a bit of that today, though. There's quite a few Beatles covers coming up as well, but before we get to that, I wanted to mention a song that I hold near and dear to my heart, which is Ashes to Ashes by David Bowie. And that is, I don't know if this is a hot take or not, but that is probably my very favorite David Bowie song. I don't know if it's his best, but that's the one I enjoy the most.
Well, what he did with Queen?
Under Pressure.
Yeah, Under Pressure, you got that one. You got Starman.
That's a good one.
You've got Fame that he did with John Lennon.
I quite like that one as well. Well, that's the thing. That's the thing about David Bowie is he's got so many amazing songs. That's hard to pick one, but
yeah, I mean,
I this is the one I'd pick.
I literally, when I was heading over here, I heard Fame on the radio. Speaking of David Bowie and Fame and all that, this is good. Scary Monsters. I'm sure we'll probably hear more David Bowie on the Halloween meeting coming up on the 16th.
I might bring that.
Scary Monsters.
Don't tell anybody. But yeah, it's a good, you know, this is a very good album, I think, as well. I mean, this song obviously is the one everybody knows off of it, but the other songs, like you said, Scary Monsters, Super Creeps, Fashion, Teenage Wildlife, it's just a great time. It's a perfect blend between, I think, him being very experimental in the late 70s and him turning into like full commercial stuff with like Let's Dance and that kind of stuff in the 80s.
Yeah.
That's a good album.
I've got quite a few David Bowie albums. He's okay, but you know, I've got like quite a few of his albums. I know I've got Aladdin Sane and Pinups and stuff like that.
Those are fun. I like Aladdin Sane a lot. Pinups is an album. It's nice, but it's just all covers and then, you know, okay, I'm not doing a David Bowie tangent, but all I have to say is that he has a lot of really bad covers, but he has a lot of really good covers, and there's not really much in between. Like, either a cover he does, like, is very great, or, like, it's just, like, mediocre.
I mean, adding to the David Bowie tangents and rants and stuff, I think Black Star is fantastic, and
thank you, God.
Yeah, that's...
I found that one on vinyl recently, and I spent an amount of money. I had just gone to the record lounge and I sold a bunch of records and I got money from it. And I walked out. I saw a Black Star. I'm like, well, never mind. And I went back and got it with all the money I got. But that is a very fantastic album. Not the one we played today, but maybe one that'll get played in the future. Stay tuned.
Yeah.
If you have an excuse to
yell
about it.
Have a meeting theme that is albums that have black covers or something like that.
Yeah, we could do that. I think that'd be good. But moving on, we have a couple little metal songs. One was called Cry For Me by Castle Rat, which is it's a newer like doom metal group, and I thought that was fun. It's very Black Sabbath influenced, I thought. I thought it was pretty good. I'll have to check that band out. And then one more song that I thought was very fascinating, which was called Sartori Part 5 by the band Flower Traveling Band from Japan. And this was like a heavy metal psychedelic rock thing. And it's very surprising to hear that like from so early. Like, this is 1971. This is before like metal kind of blew up across the world. This was kind of I feel like it kind of developed on its own.
I feel like Japan's ahead of the game like everywhere.
Oh, well, no, musically speaking, like we talked about last time.
Yeah, musically speaking.
No, I mean, a lot of like modern pop stuff or like even rock and other genres, like they very heavily influenced by stuff coming from Japan. It's like it goes both ways, I think. Like, you know, it's Western music, you know, it's very influential in Japan. So like they take that and they reinterpret it in their own way. And then, it goes back and forth. It's a nonstop cultural exchange. It's very fascinating. That's it's an interesting album. I like it quite a bit.
Yeah. Next up, two more Beatle covers. The first one that we played was by this band, this kind of psych band called Tingling Mother's Circus.
Ooh, oh, yes.
Yeah, you couldn't find it on... it's on Spotify, but when
I could not find it for some reason. It wouldn't let me find it, but yeah, that was an interesting cover.
Yeah, it's very kind of psych rocky. I think. I don't know.
Yeah, no. I thought it was very whimsical and fun. I didn't know if you could take Yellow Submarine and make it more like...
More
whimsical, but they did it somehow.
Yeah.
That was a fun cover.
It was interesting. What was the band name again? Sorry. The
Tingling Mother's Circus.
Like the 60s, like, but you could just name a band whatever, well, man. You could
obviously if you know what the play on it is, if you're listening, you know it's a play on Ringling Brothers Circus.
Yeah, that's the whole cover. They're all dressed up like clowns or something.
Yeah, and it's like it's crazy. I should have brought it in, but I forgot to because I could read a little bit off about them. But I might just bring something in the future.
We'll see.
So we can at least read where they're from. Because
curious.
Try looking it online, and there's like nothing about them.
Interesting. I'll have to check that out.
Yeah. Next one's You Got to Hide Your Love Away by the Beach Boys off their Party album.
Bingo.
All right.
It's probably 2-in-1.
Yeah.
This is a Beatles song, but it's covered by the Beach Boys. Yeah. So if like whenever we put out that bingo card, this would be like a big one.
But yeah, I really like this one. Beach Boys Party is like a fall album to me. It feels like fall. It feels like autumn. You know, an interesting way about it is how they have like the fades in between songs worked onto streaming because it's like times are different. It doesn't really work out that way. So at the end of the song, on the streaming version, it just has Brian Wilson saying "Shut up and go home," like if you don't know the next song or something like that.
Wow, that's so mean of him. I can't believe he'd say that to me. Yeah, that's a nice cover. There's a couple of like that album's mostly covers. There's a couple other Beatles ones.
Tell me why, and I should have known better. I mean, Blown in the Wind, it should have been on there, but they didn't put it on there. Typical Beach Boys of saving the good stuff to release 50 years later,
as is tradition.
Yeah. Blown in the Wind, that cover's fantastic. Probably the best cover they ever did in the 60s.
Possible. Maybe.
That's why I didn't say of all time, because I know Just Once in My Life is the best cover they did in the 70s.
I'll agree with that.
Deep Purple. They did a great cover of Deep Purple.
I'll agree with that.
Next.
Next up, we have an album that we didn't hear the whole song because it was very, very, very scuffed up, and we had to turn it off because it was going to damage the needle, but this is Just the Two of Us by Bill Withers and Grover Washington Jr.
It's a long version of it. Actually, when I was playing, I didn't realize it was Just the Two of Us because
it's the album version. There's a lot. It's very different than the single.
We didn't hear a lot of it because it was going just the two of us.
It was magical, and
it was like skipping over the thing like a child skipping in elementary school. After a while, I remember Sarah just said, "Hey, whoever's playing that, take it off. You're going to break the needle."
Yeah. But I went back and listened to it, though, and I didn't realize that the album version was so different than the single version. I don't know what I can say about that. It hasn't been said before. I mean, like, if you exist in the world, you've probably heard this song a million times playing somewhere or another.
All over the radios.
But it's a magical song. There's a good reason for it. It's wonderful.
Right. Next, we got Benny Goodman. And I just like to say, we've been talking about jazz, especially Glenn Miller here for the past three or four episodes.
Yes. I'm not complaining. I love talking about Glenn Miller.
If you do not have a jazz album, that's okay. But I'm just saying, it is a whole new experience between the record distortion and the crackle of the static And it's just amazing. There were other people than Glenn Miller. You had Benny Goodman, who pumped out.
And Artie Shaw.
You also had like Irving Berlin, George and Irish Gershwin. George Gershwin, the same guy who pumps out Rhapsody in Blues. You also got the solo artists like Frank Sinatra, Bing Crosby.
Russ Colombo.
Louis Armstrong.
Rudy Valley.
Yeah. And Ella Fitzgerald.
Thank you. I was gonna drop that in there.
Or
yeah, that's
Billie
good.
Holiday.
Billie Holiday.
Can't forget about Billie Holiday.
No, you cannot.
It's really good. I feel like more like fall. Like lots of that kind of swing music kind of reminds me of fall. Like, because it just, I don't know why it just does. But it's really good. I highly suggest listening to all that, you know.
Wonderful stuff. Moving along, there's one song I want to mention real quick called Psycho by Eddie Nowak. This is a very strange piece of history. It's like from the, I don't know if it's from 70s or 60s, but it's basically just like a monotone singer describing like how he killed a guy, basically. Very interesting. I can see why it didn't catch on, but it's another one of those like I said, like those artifacts that will surface up in like compilations like that were not popular at all at the time, but like you listen to it now, you know, with modern ears, and you have a different appreciation for it that just wasn't there back in then.
Yeah, I definitely agree. It's always good to see some country coming into these meetings, which I really do appreciate. Next up, we've got Blackbird by Harper's Bazaar, which is quite good. It's a very sunshine pop song. And when I was listening through to the playlist, and I think Andy kind of agreed, once Blackbird faded out, it sounded like the end of the playlist. Then we had like five more songs, albeit like five really good songs. Mm-hmm. But it feels like a album closure. It feels like something like cool and chill to listen to.
Yeah, it's fun. It's a nice one. Good cover. I like that cover. Moving on down the line here, we got Home Stretch. We have the song Captain for Dark Mornings by Laura Nyro. This is an artist who I was pretty much unaware of until at least like a couple months ago. And like on a lark, I listened to her first album because I had put it on a list of things to listen to a while back. And I was very much blown away. It's like a singer-songwriter stuff, but it's very like heavily influenced by like traditional pop and like the folk scene that was going on in New York at the time. But she takes it in a very different, like in her own direction, I'd have to say. Every song is like multiple like song segments and not just like the same thing over and over again. It's very like progressive in that way. She's a very unique voice. I love her voice. It's very great. The album I listened to was called Eli and the 13th Confession. The album I brought to that meeting was called New York Tenderberry, which I purchased that day of and brought it in. And I played it just because I only bought it because I couldn't find the other album. I had never listened to it before. Went home and listened to it, just as good as Eli. This one's very like a very subdued album. It's mostly just her and the piano, but there's a whole backing band, but they only come in at very specific moments on specific songs, and I think that really adds to the, you know, the emotion of it being able to have the contrast. Definitely.
Yeah, and just like how Andy bought Bigger Than Both of Us, Hall & Oates, Rich Girl, you bought this that day too at the record lounge.
I did, in fact, purchase it,
which is pretty cool.
That's what I mean though. Like, that's why it's fun to go out to these places beforehand. Because you might find something you wouldn't normally think about and bring it in.
Yeah, we need to do it more, if I'm being totally honest.
It'd be fun. Another friend of the show here, that guy, we have Glenn Miller and his orchestra, not to be confused with just Glenn Miller.
It's basically the same thing.
Yeah, my
same
thing says Glenn Miller. Yeah.
Okay, well,
yeah.
My it's Apple like, Music is
yeah,
different.
It's like not Duke Ellington. It's Duke Ellington and his jazz orchestra. It's, it's Duke
yeah,
Ellington.
Yeah, it's the same thing, I'd say. I mean, this on, I assume it may or may not be the same on Apple Music.
It's not. It says Andy's Orchestra here.
Yeah. But well, no, I mean like the length of the song.
I don't.
Because let's talk about how long that song was.
It took up a good third of the record.
On Spotify, it said 3 minutes, but it was not 3 minutes.
There's a lot of.
It was obviously, because during the times in the 30s and 40s, you'd have a swing music, a big band music, where they'd, you know, have...
You go out dancing with your boo.
Yeah, exactly. You'd have 80% instrumental, 20% lyrics. And that, I'm pretty sure, you know, they had the whole thing. I was singing along with the lyrics, and then the instrumental went on and on and on for about 4 minutes, I'd say.
I wasn't expecting all that,
yeah. Yeah, I wasn't. I don't think any of us were, to be fully honest with you.
I'm just confused how they were able to fit this on like a shellac disc in the 40s, but that was still good. It was still a good song. Fun time. Kalamazoo. I've been there in real life, so that was fun.
Yeah, I have as well when I was like a kid visiting my uncle when he was in college.
Very cool.
Western Michigan, their marching band, which is Michigan is in Kalamazoo.
Yeah, the Broncos.
Their marching band loves to play I Gotta Go in Kalamazoo.
I mean, if I was there, I'd play that too,
yeah,
I guess.
If I was, it's kind of like an anthem, I guess. Like a little bit of a, you know, not like their actual fight
no,
song.
No, towns
you
love
know,
it.
Like related. And
cities
stuff.
Love it when you have the name of the city in a song. They will play that a million times. As you should. It's good to have a song about your city. As long as, if it's a good one like this one. I'm sure there's a lot of songs about cities that are not good that they don't like to talk about. But this one's a good one.
Yes.
And the last two songs, first off, we got He's a Rebel by the Crystals. This is one of those kind of early 60s girl group stuff. I don't know if it was this a Phil Spector thing? I don't know if you produced this
Pretty
one.
Pretty sure it was a Phil Spector thing. I mean, I know Then He Kissed Me and To Do Ron Ron or Phil Spector. I assume this
is the Crystals,
too.
Yeah.
No, I assume so, at least.
No, I love this kind of stuff. The only album I have from like this era of stuff, unfortunately, in my collection would just be like Introducing the Ronettes, but I would love to. This kind of stuff is mostly like a singles thing, though.
Yeah, I have a few singles. Like, I have Then He Kissed Me and To Do Ron Ron. I mean, I think those are my only two Phillies records, Phil Spector records, you know, singles that I have. I mean, he produced the Righteous Brothers, too, which is, you know, the whole wall of sound thing is just great.
That's interesting. It's a very interesting sound. You know, I do enjoy a lot of this, like I said, the 60s girl group stuff, this and Motown, which is a completely separate thing.
Motown.
Also, I have a lot of that. I like to find a lot of that kind of stuff, but you can't go wrong with it, I don't think.
Can't go wrong with Motown.
No, you cannot. Or the like, was I think it's like Brill Building is the term. That's where they wrote most of these songs. It was like professional people, like all in this one giant office building that were like writing this kind of stuff.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Carole King.
Yeah. And like how most of the 50s hits, quite a few of the 50s hits were like actually written by Carole King.
Yeah, that's who wrote a lot of these. I don't think she wrote this one, but she wrote a lot of those early 60s pop songs like this kind of stuff. She's also very good on her own solo stuff, so check her out.
Yeah. The final song we got is Good Day Sunshine by Don and the Good Times. This is a good one. It is a closer, actually, but it's, again, just like Harper's Bazaar, this is very much sunshine pop. Mm-hmm. It's very, very good sunshine pop, I think, at least in my opinion.
I can't doubt that. It's a fun sunshine pop song. Quite good. If you are going to make a sunshine pop version of any Beatles song, it might as well be that one.
Yeah.
It's in the name and all. But that wraps us up for today. That's the whole playlist. Thank you to everybody who came in, brought in this wonderful music for us to talk about. If you're interested in coming in and playing your own favorite music, you can check out our website for all of our meeting schedules, meeting themes, past playlists, past podcasts, anything you'd ever need to know about the club. It's all located there. Very fun group of people. Very diverse music tastes. If you want to bring in something that you'd love to hear, or you know, bring in something you think is weird, we don't care. We'd love to hear it, I think. Wonderful stuff. That's everything for today, then. I hope to see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Goodbye.